Okay, so today is October 10th, 2016, the Ches Tishrei, Tavshin Ayin Zayin. As we will finish off Perek Vav today. So in Perek Vav, Pasuk Yud Gimel, there is a very odd Pasuk. I think we did acknowledge this the first time through. But it says, Perek Yud Gimel, Vayidver Hashem, 13, Vayidver Hashem el Moshe ve'el Aaron, Hashem says to Moshe and Aaron, Vayitzaveim el Bnei Yisrael ve'el Paro Melech Mitzrayim. You'll have to command the Jews and command Paro, the king of Egypt, Lehutzi es Bnei Yisrael mi'aretz Mitzrayim, in order to send the Jews out of Egypt. So there's one very odd phrase within that pasuk, and that is, what's the odd phrase there? Why does he have to command the Jews? What is this Vayitzaveim el Bnei Yisrael that is being referred to in this pasuk? What does it mean Hashem has to command the Jews in order to let the Jews free? What's going on there? So Rashi on that pasuk simply says that it's referring to that they have to have patience, right? Vayitzaveim es bnei Yisrael som aleim lanhigam benachas v'lisbol otam, that they should go and they should wait in order for the time that the time that they're going to be free, and then you command Paro and say that it's time for you to go ahead and let us out of here.
It says that Rashi was saying that Moshe should have patience with
Bnei
Yisrael.
Oh, hanhigam benachas. Okay, to have patience with them. You, Moshe, should have patience with them and go command Paro. Okay, good. So there is a Yerushalmi that comments on this, that this is the mitzvah of Shiluah Chavadim, that you're commanding Paro in order to let the Jews go, and you're commanding the Jews also that there's going to be a time when the Jews will also have to let slaves go. What does it mean that the Jews will have to? What is that referring to? So there is at the end of Shemitah and Yovel, right? Thou shalt proclaim liberty throughout the land unto all its inhabitants thereof. So this is the original command of the Liberty Bell Pasuk. That seems to be the simplest understanding of the Yerushalmi. However, the Meshech Chachma has a very interesting take on what that Yerushalmi is. The Meshech Chachma first starts off by saying that he goes on to the next few psukim. And what is going on in the next few psukim? The next few psukim are the families of the tribes of Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. So it's a little odd, right, that we asked this question when we went through the first time. Why is it that we stop there? Why do we only give the first few families and not the rest of them? He said, well, the goal really was just to get you up to Moshe. You don't really have to go past Moshe. I think that's the simplest and most common understanding. But there is a medrash that the Meshech Chachma quotes in the middle of Bamidbar, where he talks about Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, Shehin Higu Srara B'Mitzrayim, that Reuven, Shimon, and Levi actually attained a role of being in charge in Egypt. First Reuven, then Shimon, and then Levi. The Medrash says, after Reuven died, so then he gives permission to Shimon. And after Shimon died, so then he gave permission to Levi. And to be in charge of the Jews, it sounds like. To have some kind of role of Sarah, some kind of authority role amongst the Jewish people. So then the Medrash actually continues on and says, Mace Levi, once Levi died, Bikish Lase Sarah Lehuda. Levi wanted to pass over the Sarah to Yehuda, V'yatza Baskov Amra Lahem, and a voice came out and said, Hinichu Osa Achi Yegiyazmana. You have to wait. With regards to Yehuda, Shevet Yehuda being in charge, you have to wait for the right time. And when was the right time? V'eimasai Yegiyazmana. So we actually learned about that in our Navi Shir this past week. Ba'achar misaso shel Yehoshua, after the death of Yehoshua, in the second pasuk of Sefer Shoftim, it says Vayachrei Mos the first pasuk is Vayachrei Mos Yehoshua Vayishalu, and the second pasuk says Vayomer Hashem Yehuda Yalev. Yehuda should be in charge, and that meant that Yehuda should go and fight their battles, be the first Shevet to go and take on the enemies that are still within their land. And Rashi also comments that if Neil ben Kenaz is going to be the first leader, is going to be the first Shofet. He comes from the tribe of Yehuda. Right? He comes from the tribe of Yehuda, and that's when Yehuda becomes in charge. So Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, and then they're the only ones that should have a role of Srara during the time in Egypt. So the Meshech Chachma continues on and says, well, what does it mean that they had a role of Srara in Egypt? What did that give them? So the Meshech Chachma suggests, big Chiddush, that they actually owned slaves. that that they actually own slaves. Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. So Levi we know about, that Levi was... that's what he suggests, that they actually own Jewish slaves. So the command was, command B'nai Yisrael and command Paro that it's time to let the Jews go. That's pretty wild. And he continues on and says, and points out that these three tribes, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, didn't get land in Eretz Yisrael. None of them got land in Eretz Yisrael. Reuven didn't get land in Eretz Yisrael. They were on the other side of the Yarden. Levi, of course, had their Ari Levim. And Shimon as well, not as well known. Shimon didn't get their own tribal land. They were contained within the tribe, mostly of Yehuda, as we spoke about in our shir this past Shabbos, in the beginning of Shoftim. So
they had land within Yehuda, or they didn't have land?
They were given cities. They were given like small sections within the land of Yehuda. So that's a very interesting take. I saw that's the simplest understanding. That B'nai Yisrael was that, and that's the simplest understanding of that Yerushalmi as well. That B'nai Yisrael was commanded to free the slaves, being to free these slaves. The slaves, just like Paro is being commanded to leave the slave to free the slaves, so too the Jewish people are being commanded to free the slaves as well. Okay, but that is the simplest pshat in that Yerushalmi is this is actually the mitzvah of freeing slaves at the appropriate times. But you have a little bit of a problem. Why now are all of a sudden B'nai Yisrael getting this mitzvah in order to free the slaves? So there's a famous piece from Chaim Shmulevitz, Rabbi Simon in his Sefer Imri Baruch has a long essay discussing this issue. And he quotes probably the simplest understanding from Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, who explains that the command was brought now because it's not easy to free slaves. The person is employing slaves. Slaves do a lot of work for them. It's part of his livelihood. And now you're telling me, I've got to free them. That's not easy to do. So Hashem is telling you, at this moment, when you guys are slaves, when the Jewish people are slaves, Hashem says, remember what it's like, and that should be a motivation for you to free the slaves when it's your turn to free the slaves. Remember what it is now, so that later you'll be able to do that mitzvah in its appropriately and at its appropriate time. So the idea that a person should remember when they were helped by a certain deed, they should be able to do that mitzvah. Rabbi Simon continues, he points out that also is perhaps answers another question. And I raised this question in shul a few times already. And why is it that Moshe keeps bringing up over the course of Devarim several times the mitzvah of Ari Miklat? The mitzvah of Ari Miklat seems to have an excessive amount of prominence over the course of the book of Devarim, as well as the book of Yeshua a little bit also. But in the book of Devarim, I think at least three times, I believe, Ari Miklat are the sanctuary cities. You know, like Philadelphia. The sanctuary city is where the person who killed B'shogeg is able to go to. So why does that get so much prominence for Moshe? So he quotes a medrash in Devarim that suggests, Amar Rabbi Levi, Misha achal es hatavshil, hu yodeya tamo. That a person who eats a cooked food knows what it tastes like. And Moshe needed a sanctuary city. Moshe himself, who ran away because of murder, because of a Gol Adam who was being pursued, he was saved by going someplace else. He recognizes the importance of having such cities be developed, and therefore Moshe is explicit and very enthusiastic about the mitzvah of Ari Miklat. He wanted to be involved with that because it's something that he himself was saved by.
He was saved by Ari Miklat.
Well, not technically. It wasn't technically an Ari Miklat, but he was saved by being able to run to sanctuary. So he wants to make sure that others have the ability to run away sanctuary, to seek sanctuary in a city. So then he also goes on and quotes from Sefer Rinas Chayil of Rav Shmuel Cohen, who points out, quotes from the Vilna Gaon, the following idea. The Vilna Gaon says that the Vilna Gaon doesn't say, that there's Eshes Chayil, we know the thing that we say Friday night, Eshes Chayil. Chayil in Gematria is, Chayil in Gematria, Ches Yud Lamed. Lamed is 30, Yud is 10. 48. Right, so 48, what is 40 is a significant number. What's the significance of the number 48?
State of Israel.
It was right, that's true, in 1948. Besides that, 40 is also, there's the Mishnah in the sixth parak of Pirkei Avos, which is, there's a whole issue about whether that's really included in Pirkei Avos or not, or it's a collection of brayos, it's different than the rest of Pirkei Avos. But in the sixth parak of Pirkei Avos, in one of the Mishnayos there mention the 48 ways of Kinyan HaTorah, 48 ways to acquire Torah. And it gives 48 characteristics that a person should have in order to acquire Torah. The Minhag
Torah.
That was
ancient Torah's whole strategy. That's what he's talking about. I can't help but walk into the 48.
That's right, the 48 ways to wisdom, right? Rabbi Noach Weinberg, who ran Isha Torah, so he gave a famous series called 48 Ways to Wisdom, where he went through each one of these in depth as to what they mean. At Torah Academy, the minhag is that at graduation, so the graduating class is, Baruch Hashem, it's growing, but the graduating class is about 15, 20 kids, maybe even 25. Maybe it'll be a little bit more, but that's what it is. So the every kid, instead of just calling up the kid to get their diploma, they get a little, they get 3-4 sentences said about them by their Revi, and the minhag is to connect each kid to one of the ways of Kinyan HaTorah, to find one of those things and kind of make that his midah. Yes, it's hard work for the Revi, I can attest to that. Especially for that kid.
Right.
But anyways, the...
Chasam
Bereishis,
you have to do that.
Yes, sorry, but Chasam Bereishis, we do that. Well, that's for one person who I like.
No.
Chasam Bereishis, the poem that we do for Chasam Bereishis. Well, that's a long thing. We have a Minhag Beth HaMedrash that we make it particular to that year's Chasam Bereishis.
Also, it changes to English. You have to tune in, and you hear the praises of the... Oh, really? Okay,
Preservation. Yeah. So the anyways, so each one, so Vilna Gaon said that each of those 48 have to, that one could see the 48 ways to Chachma within the Perek of Eishes Chayil. So he has one Perek says, Kappa Parsley, one Pasuk says, Kappa Parsleyani, V'yadeha Shilchalu Evyon. So what does those words mean? Kappa Parsleyani. So you spread your palm towards the Ani, and you give your hand to support the Evyon. Ani and Evyon, what's exactly the difference between Ani and Evyon? That's a question. Ani, they're both considered poor people. And your palm is spreading towards the Ani, and your hand is supporting the Evyon. So what's the difference between your hand? So he claims that one of them, the first one, Kappa Parsley Ani, is the Midah of Oiv Es Habrios, is the idea of loving your, loving creations, loving the other creations. And the idea of Yadeha Shilchlo Evyon is connected the Midah of Nos say biolim chavero, being able to bear the burden with one's friend. That you realize that person is missing something. So what's the difference between the two, between oev es habrios and no se beolim chavero? So he suggests oev es habrios is somebody who sees somebody upset and tries to help that person out. I love that person. I want that person to feel better. I want that person to be better. So I'm willing to give that person whatever they need in order to make themselves better. No se beolim chavero is a little bit more than that. No se beolim chavero is recognizing their burden. Not just giving them help, but recognizing what they need, seeing the world from their perspective. And he doesn't get back here in this piece, but I assume what he means is Kappa Parsleyani is when you give your palm, you open your palm to somebody, so I'm giving you something, and you can take out of my hand. Nosei ba'olim chavero means that I am giving you, right? V'yadeha shilcha lo evyon, I give it like this. I give it with my hand on top. I'm making sure that it goes into your hand. That should perhaps be the distinction between the two. So Oivas Abrio says, yes, I want everybody to be good and generally feeling that way. But Nosibel and Chavero is a little bit deeper, recognizing the needs that another person has, not just from your perspective, but from their perspective. And that's what's going on over the course of this from this perek, that you have to, or this idea, that the command to the Jewish people were, you have to free the slaves, recognize now, while you're in a state of slavery, how important it is to do it. That you can use your experience from the past to then transform and see something from the perspective of the person that is currently suffering. And he suggests here, this is a very interesting ha'ara, that Rashi tells us in the idea from Rav Yonis and Ibishitz, that Rashi tells us that Paro knew that, or saw through his astrologers, that he saw a lot of these cryptic things through astrologers about how the savings was going to come, that the Venezuelan destruction was going to come through water. And so one of the things he saw was that through Shevet Levi they were being saved, and his suggestion is that that's why Paro didn't enslave Levi. We gave a technical reason because they were priests and they were exempt based on the end of Parshas Vayigash, but Paro's in charge, he can do whatever he wants. Right? So Paro didn't enslave Levi because he figured that if Levi is not enslaved, any leader that comes from Levi is going to be rejected by the people. That if somebody from Levi jumps up and says, "Oh, everybody follow me, I'm going to take you out of here." And as we saw in this parak, the people can't do it, the people can't handle it, they're busy working. And they're going to say, that guy from Levi, he doesn't understand what it's like. I don't have time for any of this revolution stuff. I don't have time to go protest at these rallies that go on all the time. I don't have time for that. I'm busy working. So Paro didn't recognize the greatness of Moshe was that he was able to be Nosei Ba'olim Chaver, that he was able to see it from the slave's perspective. He was able to associate with them. He was able to identify with the common man. And therefore they were willing to buy into him even though he wasn't actually a slave. Paro thought that he'd be able to avoid that because the people would never respond to somebody who wasn't actually a fellow slave. Paro underestimated the power of Moshe to be able to get to that point, to be able to identify with the entirety of the Jewish people. And then finally, why is this necessary for, why is Oiv Brios necessary, Oiv Brios and being Nosi Ba'olim Chaveru necessary for Kinyan HaTorah? So I think he quotes an idea here from the Maral that if you don't love people, you're going to be separated from people, and Torah is based on the klal. Torah is based on working for the Jewish people, and I think what he's driving at least my interpretation is that Torah is supposed to be applicable, and Torah should be available for every single person. If you can't see the Torah from that person, if you can't see the world from that person's perspective, you're not going to be able to recognize Torah from that person's perspective either. A person has to be able to get beyond their own view and get to other people's view as well, and that way they'll be able to recognize Torah in its full grandeur, not just how it was meant to be understood by him, but how it was meant to be understood by others as well, and he'll be able to be a more effective teacher, and he'll be able to be a more effective learner as well. On that note, we'll stop here. Gemar Chasima Toiva to all. We should all, over the course of Yom Kippur, be able to be Oiv Asaprios, and be able to be Noseva Olim Chavero, and therefore be inscribed for a wonderful new year. Yes?
I get you just,